How do you set your LinkedIn profile up for success to be found by recruiters, HR directors, and hiring managers? Today, my guest is Karen Tisdall, who is a professional LinkedIn profile writer. Karen gives so much value in this episode today. So if you are ready to really set your profile up for success, to be seen on LinkedIn, to build your brand, to build your profile, and to really stand out in a crowded marketplace, then today's episode is for you. I cannot stress enough, if you are a career professional, you need to be utilizing the power of LinkedIn. And Karen today is going to give you a step-by-step guide of exactly what you need to do to grow your network, build your brand, and have an amazing standout LinkedIn profile. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. I loved speaking to Karen, and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Enjoy today's episode. Karen, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast. I'm really, really excited to have this conversation with you today. You are the LinkedIn expert, the LinkedIn guru. We're going to be speaking all things how to set your profile up for success, personal branding, why LinkedIn is such a powerful platform, and why every single person who's serious about their career needs to be utilizing this platform today. So Karen, we're going to dive into all the tactics and everything that people need to know to really set themselves up. But before we do that, can we go into your story, your career journey, and what got you so passionate about LinkedIn and personal branding? So Karen, over to you.
Remember when I first started doing this, and my husband was like, "Why do you get excited about LinkedIn?" I'm like, "How can anybody not?" So my background's recruitment. So I was a recruiter for 14 and a half years in the accounting space. And so I started using LinkedIn as an early adopter to find people. And when I went on maternity leave, I wasn't too sure what I was going to do about going back to work, because at the time, I mean, we're going back 15 years now, recruitment had to be a full-time role, and I just couldn't really figure how that would work. So I just started writing LinkedIn profiles from home. My friends and the GFC had hit, and my friends were saying, "Can you help me with my LinkedIn, and can you help me to use the platform?" Because let's face it, they keep changing the user interface. And so my business just grew from there, really. And why I'm passionate about it is because LinkedIn is where, you know, it just makes me think of an address book. So when I was very little, I had an address book. I had Holly Hobby on the front. You're probably too young, Georgie, to know who I
was. No, I'm not, Karen. My whole bedroom was Holly Hobby. So I know exactly who you're talking about. Sorry, carry on.
Mine too. So my mum's from England. And so my whole, you know, and I think she just loved that whole idea. And so I had this Holly Hobby address book, and I love LinkedIn straight away, because when I had a CEO, when I was working in recruitment, I did a lunch and learn on how to use LinkedIn to find candidates. Just thought, wow, this is going to be like an address book where I can keep in touch with everybody who's ever crossed my professional path. That was way back in 2005, and now we're seeing that the platform has really morphed into a place to create content. But I also thought, this is how I can impact who I know and how they think about me.
Yeah, the platform has definitely evolved a lot from probably a tool that we use as recruiters to find talent, to now being the place where people have generally built incredible personal brands, launched businesses, and are really, really exceeding in business in their career. And like you said, building that professional address book, I love that. So let's touch upon first and foremost, right? What do people get wrong when it comes to LinkedIn, in your professional opinion?
A number of things. We could spend a whole episode just on that. So I think primarily a lot of people think that it's a place just to create content, and they neglect their own profile, and they neglect thinking of it as an address book, as their own personal CRM database of everybody that they've ever met. Also, when people are writing their LinkedIn profile, people think that they're writing their profile to be all about them. And so they write their LinkedIn profile like their resume, which is focusing on what they've done. Now, as a recruiter, Georgie, how many times have you interviewed somebody and you're like, so 30% of your role was doing this, but you really love that? It's really hard to find somebody who's got those skills. You need to talk more about those skills on your resume, even though it was only 30% of your role, because that's what you want to do. That's what the market needs. That's what you're moving towards. Don't keep talking about the work you don't want to do. And people make the same mistake with their LinkedIn profile. They put on their LinkedIn profile, this is everything we've ever done. Rather than think, well, what does the market need and what do I enjoy doing? And so I think we really need to think in terms of supply and demand. What's the need out there in the audience, in the market for that sort of talent, those sorts of skills? And what do you want to do? And write towards that. So I think people write their LinkedIn profile focusing on their past self. And I think we need to think about who's our best future self.
Oh, that is so good. Okay, that's really good. Okay, that's a complete reframe of how people are using the platform right now, because it's like, these are all my past experiences. These are all my qualifications. These are all the jobs that I've had. So what you're saying is position yourself for the role that you want to get. So let's talk to that, because there's a lot of people, unfortunately, right now that are finding themselves on the job market. And they want to step up maybe into a senior role or a leadership role. They've got a lot of great skills, but how would you position yourself? Like, let's think about this. Like, let's go really granular. Like, what kind of profile picture are you uploading? What kind of summary are you putting? Like, where do they put all this information?
Absolutely. So there's different parts of LinkedIn, and one of the most under-resourced, underutilized part of LinkedIn is the experience section. So a lot of people will just put in their experience section their position titles, and they'll type in there the position title they had, and they won't load up a lot of details in the experience section where you can actually list what it is you did. And what I think people should do instead is collect job adverts of roles that they really want. It's quite ironic that I'm really bad at math, but I just love data and I love statistics, and I think you can kill anything with data. So just, you know, search for a whole load of job adverts of roles you really want. Doesn't matter if they're not local. Doesn't matter if they're 2 years old and they're on the other side of the world and you're not going to relocate. You want to collect all those job adverts, and you want to go through and you want to highlight what are all the keywords in those adverts, and then look at your resume. Have you got all of the keywords in your resume? And then look at LinkedIn and go, now where can I put them? And you can put them in your about section. You can put them in your headline. You can put them in the body of your experience section, that bit that's often very underutilized. But when it comes to the title of your roles, don't just type in there whatever your position title was. Slowly type it and see what the defaults are. And that's really important for those people who are using Recruiter Lite. So the recruiters platform, LinkedIn for recruiters platform, to search for specific job titles. So don't sort of make up a weird title if that's what your company gave you. You know, so if you're a VP or whatever, you know, like I need to think about what would that translate to, and always with that eye on your future self.
That is, again, really powerful and really tangible as well. So people that are sort of looking to not just update their LinkedIn, but also their resume, think about, okay, what does the next job look like for me? Type into LinkedIn or Seek or Indeed, like the job titles that they want or the positions they'd like to get. Look at those keywords that are on the job brief, making sure that they're on their resume and on their LinkedIn. And I guess why that's so powerful, Karen, is how obviously we work as recruiters, for an example, is we will put in those keywords into LinkedIn and your profile will come up, right? So that is such a powerful, like LinkedIn is a search tool for recruiters. So if you want to be found for your next job, the next job that you want, make sure that those keywords are in your LinkedIn. Super, super powerful, because I think people miss out on that and miss out on so many opportunities that don't do that.
They totally miss out. So I think, again, you know, people just sort of think, oh, I'll just tell you everything I've ever done, as opposed to thinking, well, what is it that I need to use? So I think as a LinkedIn profile writer myself, writing LinkedIn profiles for 15 years, I really, not a day goes past that I don't draw on my experience as a recruiter. And I'm, Georgie, I'm so old. That's some recruitment when we first moved to computerized systems. Can you believe it? And so I was there at the birth of applicant tracking systems, where it was all about searching, using computers to search for keywords. So I'm always really cognizant, what are the keywords that your market's looking for? And if you're underlining lots of words in the adverts, just sort of thinking, okay, are these really keywords or are they quite bland? Like, that, do they describe your niche and your area and your industry? And is that even what you want? So don't, you know, let's say, for instance, the word professional, like, that doesn't tell me what you do. You know, make it a manager or make it a leader or, you know, like, give me an actual word as opposed to something that could be the same across multiple industries and verticals.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. So anything else that people are getting wrong when they're coming to you, when you're looking at all of these profiles? Like, I think the picture's really important. I think I can tell a lot by somebody's picture. Like, and sometimes I'll speak to somebody and it's like, they've got a picture that's like 20, 30 years old. I'm like, oh my God, like, you need to update this and maybe sort of put a bit more of a corporate attire on, not just you with a beer and a beer guard on a sunny day. Like, how important are these first impressions for people to get right?
Yeah, you totally read my mind then, because I was thinking, if there's any other part, it's the profile photos. So many people have profile photos that are out of date. You know, oh my gosh, my husband, seriously, it's like 15 years old. And I keep telling him, you know, honey, you don't look like that anymore. What do people think when they see him? It's like, I do. I'm like, you don't. So if you're not too sure, let's check it with a friend who will speak the truth to you. We do change, you know, often we change our hair color and so on and so forth. So make sure it really does look like you. Have it quite close. It's really important to have eye contact. So you don't want to have a profile photo where you're wearing sunglasses or you're standing so far back from the camera that I can't see in your eyes. And I think it's important to look professional, but not grumpy. I think a lot of people think of professional photos, even photographers, a lot of professional photographers will take very dark photos, you know, as if they think it gives you gravitas when your photo is really dark and you look really moody. One of the days of, you know, leave your personality at the door, you want to look like somebody that people will want to work with. So big smile. Toothy grin's fantastic. Can't be used for identity fraud. You're never going to have a toothy smile on a passport photo. So, you know, show a few teeth, show some personality, dress professionally, and make sure it's really well lit. So if you've got a dark photo, it doesn't hurt to overexpose it a bit, just to sort of bring out your eyes and your features. And because our eyes are actually pulled towards light, whatever is the lightest part of your computer screen is what you tend to focus on. So you really want your profile photo to pop on a page. So make sure it's well lit too.
Awesome. So, okay, we've got our great picture. We've got the self that we want to be. We've got all those keywords throughout our LinkedIn profile. Anything else that we can do to really set ourselves up for success, be seen by recruiters and really sort of stand out in a crowded marketplace?
Absolutely. Quite a new section of LinkedIn is skills. Skills have been around on LinkedIn forever, but they were capped at 50. And in about November or so last year, they moved from 50 to 100 skills. I still haven't gone through my own profile. I need to do that. Mechanics in their cars, right? But you can have up to 100 skills. So it's important to make sure that you do have lots of those. A lot of people don't realize that when you click on the edit button, there's like these two arrows, sort of one's pointing up and one's pointing down. That's a reorder button. So you want to add lots of skills, reorder them so you've got the most important ones at the top of your skills section. And then if you just, and you've got to do this really slowly, look to the left-hand side when you're in the edit button, and you'll see that you can pin them to each role. So go through and just sign the relevant skills, the most keywords, to as many of your roles as you can. And you want to upload about sort of 8 to 10 for each different position. Then look at your profile. I know this sounds so tedious. It's the reason why so many people outsource this these days. Then look at your profile and just make sure that the first one that's appearing isn't the most underwhelming skill that you've got. You know, if it's customer service or something, and that's the first thing that shows, and you're all, actually, I'm a software engineer and I'm good with customers, but I don't want that to be the first thing people see, then just delete it and just reorder it. So I think it's really important, and that's a new part of LinkedIn that a lot of people are not cognizant of, that you can pin your skills to your experience sections. And at the bottom of your about section, so when you go and edit your about section, if you just scroll all the way to the bottom there, you can upload skills to that section too, which also looks really good. So it's another place to really make sure that you've got those keywords front of mind for everybody, so that when people look at your profile, they know instantly what it is you do and the value you bring.
Amazing. And I can see why a lot of people come to you for you to do this for them, because like anything, it takes time, but it's worth doing well. So let's say then they have got a fantastic profile. Maybe you've done it for them and they're all set up ready to go, right? So the next step is, obviously, we want that profile to be known, right? And this is where, I guess, content creation on LinkedIn and connecting to people that you want to connect with, like you said at the start, I loved it, building up your address book. So let's talk about the networking piece first and foremost, because I think this is another huge mistake that people make on LinkedIn. The amount of messages I get, Karen, hey, probably actually not even my name, hey, love to connect, that's it, right? And I'm like, right, come on, like, have a little bit more effort and energy into connecting, not just like, sometimes I'll just get a connection request and no one will even say anything. And it's like, I don't know who you are. I don't necessarily want to connect with every single person that sends me a connection request. So what would be your advice when people are thinking about building their network on LinkedIn? How do you think they should go about it in the right way?
Well, there's a difference between how they should and how they can. Mm-hmm. So you're probably a premium user, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people who don't have LinkedIn premium anymore, or are not paying for LinkedIn, so they don't have premium, are now restricted to 5 to 10 personalized invitations a month.
Wow.
Wow. That's really new too. So it's a couple of months old. So if you are seeing more and more people just send you an invite to connect and it's not personalized, that's why. Because LinkedIn is starting to take away more and more of the features from the free subscription and move them to the paid subscription to try and get more and more people to pay for LinkedIn Premium. So best practice is to personalize invitations. And a lot of people are not aware that you can do that on mobile. You can, you just need to click on the button on the right and then drop on the drop down. So just where you've got a little dot, scroll down to personalize invite on mobile. But you do only have 5 or 10 of those a month if you're on free. So, which is really annoying, isn't it? But when you are personalizing invitations to connect, I think it's important to try and just show that you've looked at somebody's profile. So if that person's creating content, then like and comment on their content before you send an invite to connect, just to flag that you have actually researched that person. And if you are personalizing it, if you're going to use up one of those personalized invites, then try and mention something in their profile that caught your eye, or something that you've got in common, or how many people you've got in common, or something like that. Make it about them, not about you. Just like you're making your LinkedIn profile about, you know, it's about those keywords, it's about the employer, it's about their pain and their problem and what they're looking for. It's not all you. And I think it's the same applies when you're messaging people.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And I didn't realize that you got 5 for 10. That's that's not a lot, is it? So you really want to make sure if you're not paying the premium that you are maximizing that, and the people you're connecting with are really, you know, sort of wanting to connect back with you because you've written a really nice personalized message. So look, that's really good advice. But I think definitely networking on LinkedIn is so powerful, and I always am trying to use my connections every single week. I think you get 50 if you're premium. I think it's 50. I hope it is, otherwise I'm going to get banned because I think I send about 50 a week.
Yeah, actually, they did used to have limits on it, and there was some discrepancy on whether it was 50, 80 or 100. Yeah. I think actually that now it's been the limits on how many invitations you connect have been halted. So you can send an unlimited number of, I hope this doesn't get in trouble with anybody. I think you can now send an unlimited number of connections. But you do have to move fairly slowly in doing it, because if you do it at super swift speed, then you're mimicking the actions of a bot, and you can get banned or get kicked off the platform. So it's worth doing it with great intentionality. Intentionality is really important. You do want to have a network, and it's really important to think of LinkedIn as that address book, your own personal CRM database. But don't just go connect with everybody. You really want to think, okay, who's going to know the people that I want to know? And so really always putting that intention. I loved one of your episodes where you spoke about networking, actually, and you said, you know, always turn up to a networking event with a purpose in mind. And I think we need to think of LinkedIn as the same thing. It's a networking event, but it's global. So have that purpose in mind. What are you on LinkedIn for? If you're not being very intentional with your time on platform, then, you know, you're not using the product, it's using you. Your attention is currency. So spend it really wisely and be really careful in terms of how you use that time, intentionally connect with people. It's not that you want to be so paranoid about connecting with people, but just sort of think, okay, could these people help me? And be a bit open-minded as well in terms of connecting with all of the peers that you've worked for previously. A lot of clients that I work with don't want to connect with everybody that they've worked for or that they're currently working for, because they see it as an endorsement of those people's character. And often they may have some people at work that actually, frankly, they don't like. That's why I'm writing their profile. And I would always sort of urge people to be a bit more open-minded but selective in terms of who you connect with. It is not an endorsement of somebody's character. And if you connect with everybody you work with, even if they're people you don't like, your second network becomes so much larger, and that's how you show up. So, you know, your LinkedIn profile is more important than your resume, because it is top of the funnel. It's your first impression. It's how people think of you. If you are using your resume to apply for advertised roles, you're just one of the many that's out there. So if you have a really great LinkedIn profile, that can pull and attract roles towards you. And if you're going to be put forward by a recruiter, you can guarantee that that client is going to look at whatever the recruiter's put forward, and they're going to have a look at your LinkedIn profile. Who do you know? Can you bring relationships to this role? Can you bring that sort of intelligence as well? People get employed for who they know. So it's really important to intentionally curate that.
100%. And this is something I wish I knew right at the start of my career. And now it's something that I talk about a lot, because networking keeps coming up all the time. For when I'm speaking to career professionals that have really managed to accelerate in their career, it's often who they know, what doors have been opened for them, but also they're constantly reinvesting in their network, being very intentional with who they connect with, who they spend time with, because like you said, then it's also the second connections of those people as well. So really, really powerful stuff. I think LinkedIn is just it's an incredible platform, and I've personally got a lot from it, which is why I'm so passionate and I want people to take it really seriously. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. So let's say, obviously, you've got your profile set up, you're really thinking about who you're networking with. Now you also want to, I guess, position yourself as a bit of a thought leader or somebody to know in your area of expertise. So for me, obviously, as somebody who owns a recruitment company, I'm constantly posting things about career. I'm constantly posting things that come up a lot with the women I'm speaking to about imposter syndrome and confidence. I'm having conversations with career professionals like yourself and industry experts to offer value to back into the marketplace. But when I'm creating content, Karen, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, I'm always thinking about what value am I going to bring into the marketplace today? How can I give versus what can I get? I don't sell on LinkedIn. Very rarely do I sell. For example, at the moment, we're launching our Big Sister Mentorship program. So I'll be talking about that. There'll be a wait list, but that's a completely free service anyway. So I'll be mentioning that. I mentioned the events, but very, very rarely will you hear me selling on LinkedIn. What's your thoughts on creating content, how to go about creating good content, and I guess your own experience from doing so?
Yeah, I'm increasingly getting a number of people saying to me, how do I sell on LinkedIn? How do I sell? Or I'm creating all this really great content. I've learned how to do content and it's not going anywhere. What am I doing wrong? And it's because they're selling, you know, and nobody likes being sold to. So, but we all love being informed. So if you want to position yourself as the expert, then give information, be really generous in what you know, and think of content as like writing a letter to, you know, your younger self or, somebody who's quite new to the game. What might be really obvious to you might not be to somebody else. So think about those moments in your day and what you do and how you do it and just catalog some of that, you know, give information. Teach people how to do what it is you do. And if you think, but then I'll be creating more competition for myself from the job perspective because everybody will know how to do what I do. Well, yes, you will be leveling up others, but that's only going to push you higher and you'll be the source of all of this expertise. So you'll be at the top of the pinnacle and you're reminding people what it is you can do. So just give. You know, I really do think that we all need to think of ourselves as if we're famous chefs. Just give away all of our recipes because people who can't afford you, they will take all those recipes and they'll use them at home. They'll try to do it themselves. But if you're a gig worker or even if you're just looking for a full-time role, if you give away all that information, people will pay a lot of money because they see you even more as the expert. Think about having a signature on the bottom of your posts. So by signature, what I mean is, you could have a post, Georgie, where, of course, you're not selling, you're just giving lots of information. But then at the bottom of it, the very bottom, you can tag yourself and say, did you enjoy this? Like to find out more? Attend our next sisterhood, you know, event. You can have something underneath there where you've tagged your own name and you've reminded people what it is you do. And we're seeing that increasingly on content because if people have scrolled to the bottom, you've earned the right to sell a little bit, but you want to make it like it's just sort of like an email signature. You know, at the bottom of an email signature, you might have, you know, when we've got this offer at the moment or we've got this, you could put that at the bottom of everything, but it's got to be really subtle and it's got to be consistent on your posts.
Agree with everything you just said there, Karen. Absolutely love it. And I'm really pleased that you're also giving that feedback and coaching to people reaching out to you to say, I'm trying to make sales on LinkedIn. It's not happening. What I've learned, and I love your thoughts on this, is the selling comes in the DMs. So I will go outbound, post loads of valuable content. And then when I reach out, so somebody will like my post, maybe it's a HR director, and I will reach out to that HR director and say, hey, Karen, thanks so much for supporting my post. It's great to be connected. Then she will respond and say, fantastic, Georgie. Really interested, in fact, like what is the Sisterhood Club? Oh, let's jump on a call and I can talk you through it. Boom. That is how I generate all of my business. I do not sell. I basically I see the likes and the comments as leads, right? And then it's a warmer introduction. They know who I am. Or I also know when I reach out, more of like a cold, I guess, message on LinkedIn, because they've seen me, they know who I am. So I get a warmer response back. Oh, hey, Georgie. Yeah, I saw one of your recent posts about that. It's opening doors. But I think what it takes time, right, Karen? It takes a lot of investment into it. And I think we live in a society where it's that instant gratification. And if people don't see that instant win, that instant sale, like it's taken me probably a good year to get to that point where I've probably built up enough trust in the marketplace from the work I've been doing, Sister Club, to now sort of start to sort of see people reaching out to me about, what are you doing? I'm interested to find out more. But it takes time, and it isn't just going to happen overnight. So love to get your thoughts on that and what you're sort of hearing in the marketplace when people start this content journey and building up their personal brand.
Absolutely. So certainly I love that your model is very much around an inbound marketing, and in that, you know, people are coming to you. So it's pull marketing, not push marketing. You know, you're pulling attention towards you, and people are reaching out to you. But I think for job seekers, that can be quite hard sometimes. I think they can create content. The only people who are commenting on that content might be other people who do what they do. And so you're creating this great community around you of, if you're looking at who's liking and who's commenting on your posts, of people who do the same thing as you, who you're competing with for jobs. And so you might think, well, I don't want to compete. I don't want to connect with them because they're my competitors. And again, that's where I think it's really important to have that growth mindset around, if reach out to them, send them an invitation to connect. And then when they accept, leave them a note thanking them for having accepted your invitation to connect, because it's not about them. It's about, well, it is about them, but it's about who they know. So they can put you forward for a role. A lot of organizations offer spotters fees, but it's often who they know as well. So really sort of having that growth mindset and just knowing that it's, you know, it's really important to not sort of think of it as a limited number of opportunities, and but more around who you know and who they know, and that, so on and so forth. And I think in terms of connecting with people and direct messaging, I really love voice notes. So a lot of people don't realize that you can leave voice notes for people. So I think it's really important to have a bi-weekly habit. So once a fortnight, you're sending, you're using the search filters and you're connecting with as many people as you can, moving quite slowly so you don't look like you're a bot, but not watching the number of connections that you're sending to people who are in your industry, in your space, and people who you need to know. And then the alternate fortnight, you're clicking on my connect, you're clicking on my network and then connections, and so the top panel, and then on the top left-hand side, you're looking at my connections. It should already be sorted by most recent, people who've recently accepted your invitation to connect. And then having a look at that, get out your phone. You can only do this on your mobile phone. Type in the name of the person who's recently accepted your invite. Click on message. And at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see a little microphone button. Click on that microphone button and you can leave a one-minute voice note for people where you can thank them for accepting your invitation to connect. And that's a great opportunity to thank people and also let them know what it is you do. And I'd recommend you do that in a sandwich. So by sandwich, I mean it starts with M, it ends with M, because as you always say, Georgie, it's got to be more about them than it is about you. And then in the middle there, you can just also incidentally mention what it is you do. So what that might look like is, Hi, Georgie. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation to connect. I really appreciate it. Look, really thrilled to be connected with a recruiter like yourself working in the talent, working in the IT and technical space. And I can see too that you're a great advocate for women. So really thrilled to be connected. Look, I don't know if you had a chance to have a look at my profile. If you did, you might have noticed that I'm a software developer and I'm based in Melbourne. So if you ever see anything, let me know. It'd be really great to hear about something. But really just wanted to reach out and say thanks so much for accepting my invite. Really appreciate it. Take care. Cheers. Bye. So just a quick note like that is so powerful because, as all of your listeners know, we can look through voice, right? Voice is the most popular medium right now. It's how we really communicate with each other. It's how we reach each other. We don't trust what we read anymore.
And I've done this, Karen, many times, and it has led to meetings, it's led to calls, it's led to some really good things happening. And I love what you said there about having sort of a bit of a rhythm with it, though, because it's something that I've probably gone in and out of, and it's worked, and then I haven't done it for a couple of months. And I thought, oh, I need to go back and do that. So just maybe scheduling it in my calendar every fortnight just to be all the new connections. Once I've connected, said thanks for connecting, then maybe a couple of weeks later, reaching back out with a voice note of who I am, what I do, love to connect. It's like that's fantastic. I'm definitely going to start implementing that into my sort of weekly content rhythm and LinkedIn search function as well. So that's fantastic. But I just want to sort of, I guess, round off, Karen, in terms of like, how do you sort of foresee the platform changing? There's a lot of talk about like it becoming more video. Like, do you think LinkedIn will go there? Like, I'm sure you're sort of reasonably sort of in the know of like what the platform's going to be moving towards. Is it going to be more like a TikTok model where it's more video? What are your thoughts? What are your predictions?
I'm so lucky to be in the know, and it's not a single-handed thing.
Tell us all the goss.
I do know all the goss, and the reason why I know all the goss, credit where credit's due, is because of John Asperian. So I'm a part of his paid LinkedIn membership group, and we've got about 50, 60 LinkedIn trainers all around the world who are in that Espresso Plus community. So every time something changes on LinkedIn, we're all talking about it. We're all going, oh, my gosh, how do you navigate this? What are you thinking? What are you doing? How are you finding this? So what has been released last week is TikTok style videos. I have not seen these myself. I haven't made time to search for them, but this was released only last week. It's already been spotted by LinkedIn trainers in Belgium and in the UK. So, and a couple in the America. So yeah, it's out there. All the LinkedIn trainers are talking about it. None of them seem particularly impressed by it. And they say that they're really hard to see. You're not just scrolling through your feed and seeing it. You're scrolling through your feed. You're seeing a video that's often not from your connections, which is really weird and unusual. And it might be from somebody you're following. Is usually the case when you click on that video on mobile. You can then scroll up and it becomes like a TikTok where you're seeing a series of different reels, different short reels. So that's really new and not obvious to a lot of LinkedIn users. And it does mean that, yes, LinkedIn are really, really, really pushing video. We're also seeing, we have seen in the last 18 months, LinkedIn adopting more and more Twitter-like features where it's really pushing you to so-and-so followed you. Would you like to follow them back? Please don't follow people back. If they're relevant to you, reach out and connect. It's great that LinkedIn's trying to make Twitter people feel very comfortable with you using the platform, but followers are okay, but, you know, they're not going to get you your next role. They're not going to help you in your employment journey. So if they're relevant to you, reach out, connect. And another thing we're seeing is just a more and more crowded content publishing space. So it's just getting more and more crowded in there, which I think just really brings it back to the idea of that address book. You know, as you say so often, you know, your network is your net worth. Make sure you've got a really great profile. You don't just want to connect with everybody, but have a profile that's incredibly underwhelming You've only got one chance to make a good first impression. Some people go back and have a look at your profile a couple of times, but typically people are only looking at your profile once they connect with you. So make sure you've got a great profile, lots of keywords in there and relevant to your audience, and build your network, because posting is getting increasingly noisy, and that's only going to increase as we see more and more of a push for paid advertising.
It's going to be interesting to watch, but you're so right. If you don't get your profile right, you could be doing all the connecting, all the content in the world, but people aren't going to follow you if they go to your profile and they go, oh, who's this Georgie? What's she all about then? So you've got to make sure that's the first thing you've got to get right. And then everything else is an extension of that profile. So really, really key to make sure that people do understand that. But Karen, look, what's next for you? I mean, obviously I've been following your journey for a number of years now. And you know, it was interesting in that when LinkedIn first came about and people were like, oh, it's not going to be around forever. Like, this platform's going nowhere. And I can imagine as more people take it seriously, understand what an incredible tool it is to accelerate in their careers, to network, to build up that address book, which I love, to build their personal brands, to launch businesses on, like, this platform's becoming increasingly more popular with professionals, definitely. So what's next for you? Is it going to be sort of, you know, sort of doing a whole lot more? You're going to be hiring a team? Like, what do you think the future holds for you?
I don't want to scale. I don't want to have lots of employees. I just love working one-to-one with my clients. So I'm really lucky to have had a lot of recent successes. So I've just been appointed as the AIM, Australian Institute of Management, some of their LinkedIn trainer, their preferred LinkedIn trainer. So it's fantastic. I've also just signed up now, which I haven't announced anywhere yet, with Social Media College. So I'll be running some webinars for them, which are 2 half-days in July, and we'll do those maybe twice a year next year, depending on how these ones go. But I expect they'll be quite popular. And that's a really great, cheap way for Social Media College and I to help people to increase their LinkedIn profile without having to pay me $3,000. So we're sort of, it'll be a very hands-on practical workshop. So it's really exciting. And that's also being sponsored as well by the Australian Marketing Institute, the AMI. So I've got some really great partnerships that are allowing me to bring more workshops to the public. So while I do work one-on-one with people, writing people's LinkedIn profiles, you know, not everybody's got the budget, and I don't have the time for everybody, frankly. You know, so I've got tons of free resources. So if anybody wants to reach out, I've got so much free stuff, because like yourself, I create content to be helpful. I am always giving away my recipes. But for people who want a little bit more and they don't have the time or the big $3,000 budget to have it all done for you, you know, I'm running more and more workshops through Social Media College, which is really exciting for me, and Australian Institute of Management. So very lucky. And I was looking at doing more of that, really. So if I can keep doing that until I'm about 75, I reckon, that's my plan.
I love it. And we'll make sure I put the link below so people can come and reach out to you and definitely utilize your service if that's what they want to do. But yeah, it's so important to get your profile right. But Karen, is there anything we haven't discussed today that you think is really important for my listeners to know, whether it's LinkedIn profile writing, personal branding, like anything we haven't discussed that you just want to just leave people with, like, final sort of takeaway?
The headline section. So this is a bit that sits underneath your name in the top card, if you like. So when you have a look at your LinkedIn profile on desktop or on mobile, but it's easier on desktop, you've got a headline section there. You've got 220 characters, so use them. So many people, they've just got the default is just their position title. So I would urge people to put their position title and name the company they're at. So position title at such and such. And then have other keywords in there. You know, what else could your position title, what's that the equivalent of? And if you've never had those job titles before, that's okay. So a client of mine, general manager, never had the title country manager, but her role is an equivalent of. So by putting country manager into her headline, we're increasing her keyword capture. And we can also put locations in there, and then you can end it with something that makes people smile, like a hobby or something like that if you want. But 220 characters. So I think that's a really great and easy place for people to start with improving their LinkedIn profile.
Karen, thank you so much. It's honestly been such a joy having you on today. And I know the listeners, if they action what you've said, are really going to get a lot from this episode. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And I encourage everyone who listens to go follow Karen and become part of her community. But make sure you reach out with a nice personalized message, and she'll be paying attention if you leave that voice message in a couple of weeks' time after connecting. So put into practice what Karen said today, and your career and your network will take off. So Karen, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful, Georgie. I've always loved your work, and your work just gets, you know, I love what you're building, and I love your values. You're just such a good human. So thrilled to be with you. And we all know like attracts like. So I'm thrilled to be with you and your audience. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.